everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rethinking Supply Chain. It's Diana Chen here, and I'm here with your host, John Abrams. And today we're going to be talking all about brand data. John, why don't you kick us off and just tell us who owns brand data?
Ah, well, that's a really interesting question. You would think just by it being brand data, what is typically meant by that is all of the information associated with a product manufactured by a brand. So if you look at product information about a Nike shoe, and Nike is a bad example because Nike understands the value of the information that they have about that shoe, but Nike is sort of atypical, but a good starting point, perhaps. So the brand data, the image, the description, the weight, the chemical compounds that are in a Nike shoe, all of that information typically is resident at some point in the manufacturing process. So the brand, the manufacturer, you would think owns all of that information. But most brands, Nike is a little bit of an exception, but most brands silo the development and the curation of that product information. And what I mean by that is the marketing group has a specific need for certain elements of brand information. They might have need to put a picture of a shoe on a billboard. And so they create with a photography company or internally that image. And then they author really interesting copy words about that product, and they make that part of an ad campaign. And that information typically lives in the silo of marketing, and it doesn't transit to the more operational parts of the company. So when you get into, well, I want to put that shoe in a box, and so we have to know the size of the shoe. We have to manufacture the box or contract for manufacture of the box. And then we have to know the weight of the box, the weight of the shoe. Does it have harmful materials in it? All of that information may then live in the world of, we'll make it just kind of high level, shipping, the shipping department. And we're now getting into various elements of supply chain. So how many boxes of shoes do I put on a pallet? What does that pallet weigh? How many of those pallets can I put on a truck or in a container and ship them from the point of manufacture to a distributor or to a retail shop? And so the silos in this quick example are marketing, which has all the sexy copy describing a shoe and the image and all of that stuff. And then supply chain information or shipping information, you know, how much of this does the shoe weigh? Where is it headed? Who bought the shoe or who is buying the shoe for this next point in the chain? And so that information tends in the olden days not to come together. And more that information is coming together because consumers want to tie a direct connection between, say, the picture of a shoe and what are the organic compounds that are in that shoe? Do they harm me? Do they harm my child? Will my feet get contaminated? Is it manufactured using sustainable processes in sustainable plants with workers who are fairly paid? All of that information is stuff that the consumer wants. Who owns that information? One would think that the manufacturer owns that information. But often, because it's siloed within the manufacturer, it never gets pulled together and distributed in a way that is logical. So what happens is third parties come along and they pick up the shoe and they take their own picture of the shoe. And they may post their own picture of the shoe on an Amazon website or sell it themselves on a website of their own. And so the information about that shoe, including the description and the picture and all of that, is really then at that point owned by somebody else that the manufacturer doesn't control, that the manufacturer doesn't necessarily authorize, but you have that information that is perhaps not accurate or certainly not sanctioned. and it's out there in the internet, and that creates for the consumer confusion and mistrust, perhaps, and actually leaves the consumer in the quandary of when the shoe shows up and it's not exactly what was described. It leaves them in a state of discontent. So the question, who owns the product information? Does the brand own it? Really, on the surface, seems very simple. Of course they own it. It's their product. And the answer is, sometimes they own it. Oftentimes they don't. And this is a pinch point in the world of consumer interaction that has emerged primarily just since the dawn of the internet. Because in the olden days, to buy a shoe, you went to the store, you found the shoe on the shelf, you picked it up in your hands, you looked at it, you smelled it, you decided that this was the shoe for you. And if it fit, you bought it and you walked out of the store. In the digital age, that product information is now gold. And the owner of that product information more and more needs to be the brand. And as I said at the start of this, Nike understands that. They were one of the first to truly understand that their product information is their currency. And it's just not in the marketing department. It's across the whole of supply chain, because consumers thirst for an almost endless range of product information. So today the answer is, sometimes the owner is the brand for product information. Sometimes it's not. And that's going to change. It already is starting to change, and it will change more as we go on.
Can you talk a little more about how brands like Nike can start to own more of their data, especially as correct me if I'm wrong in saying this, but I think consumers are becoming more and more demanding in terms of the number of their need for more and more product data. Like back in the day, you maybe could get away with saying, okay, this is a running shoe, size 8, female, you know, and that's like just about all people needed. Nowadays, it's like, is this a running shoe that doubles as a cross trainer? You know, how good is the arch support? What are the exact colors? How much does it breathe? Like all these different things. So as consumers get more and more demanding, I guess this is a two-part question. As consumers get more and more demanding, how do brands keep up with that? And while they're trying to move towards owning more of their product data instead of letting everybody else own it?
Yeah, so it's a complex question. And where should I start? I'll start with the sort of never-ending consumer demand for more information. And I want to point out that we're at such a rudimentary phase of product information today that improvement will certainly come. Just sort of funny, the microphone I'm using for this podcast, you recommended a certain microphone and I went to Amazon and I looked it up. And it took me probably 30 minutes to even figure out from whom I would be buying the microphone. Because at one level, you think you're buying it from Amazon. At another level, Amazon is just the vehicle that's conveying any number of sellers. One seller was the actual manufacturer of this microphone. Many of the other sellers were, I don't know, people who had a stockpile of these kind of microphones in their basement. I don't know who they are. I don't know that I trust them either. The microphone I wanted to buy was the one that was, to some extent, safest, meaning I could reliably believe that this manufacturer is the manufacturer of this microphone and is going to convey it to me in a reasonable time frame. And it took me a long time to figure that out. That should not be. It's not just the product information that people and consumers want. You know, where was my banana grown? I want to know who that farmer is. I want to know if that farmer has been convicted of spraying pesticides on his bananas for the past 20 years. All of those things are depending on what you're buying and what use you have for that product are more or less critical to the consumer. And today, much of that isn't conveyed. It is not transparent to the buyer, and that will all change. So there's many different aspects of your question. The core of your question, though, is, you know, does the brand have the data? Do they own the data? The answer is almost to a certainty, they have the majority of the information consumers want. So let's say it's an electronics product, and you want to know if that product is certified in the United States by Underwriters Lab, UL. Because that way you can be fairly assured that if UL has certified the product that you're plugging in the wall, it's not going to blow up. You know, UL has tested it. That information exists. It has been tested by UL, and I am certain that electronics manufacturer has received back from UL the test results, and they also have the original engineering specs for the product. So most electronic products have a US or have a UL certification, but it's very, unless you see the UL stamp on the cord after you buy it, you don't know hardly anything about it. So the information exists. The brand or the manufacturer has that information. It is just not being conveyed all the way to the consumer. So a number of things have to change. First, the manufacturer has to tear down a lot of the walls that they've created within their own organization. So testing and certification and all of that need to be coupled with the marketing information. So the picture of the product, the weight of the product, where the product was manufactured, all of that needs to combine with perhaps even shipping information. You know, this product measures this much, it weighs this much, it's conveyed from us as a manufacturer to this shipper. All of that information can get to the consumer because we're all connected. It's just really kind of locked up in unusual ways based on the departmental barriers and the organizational mindset, which is really rooted in, I would say, early 1900s understanding of how to sell and market a product.
Awesome. There's definitely like so much involved in that, and it's hard to kind of wrap my head around all of that at once, but you really do have to look at so many different factors. One thing I was thinking about as you were talking was who pays for all this brand data? So whatever happens with this data or the demands from the consumers, who does that come out of the company's pockets?
You know, increasingly it is. And there is a shift that is underway with makers of products, growers, manufacturers, brands, all the people that make things have been for a long time focused on, I make something, I put in a box, I convey it to the retailer. So let's take Sears. If I'm making bicycles, I make the bicycle wherever I make it, I put it in a box, I ship it to Sears, Sears unpacks it, puts it on the shelf. The information that Sears has on that box is what I would say is label information. By the way, healthcare works the same way. It is the label information that governs most of what healthcare providers understand about a product. And so we're in this era of product information is only accurate at the label. And that needs to shift, and it is shifting. But if today you are still, as a retailer, ingesting label information and using that as a way to communicate with your consumers, you're sort of outmoded and you're increasingly irrelevant. So the core question of who pays for that data, we're really looking at manufacturers undergoing a shift from just having to worry about putting information on a label to, I now need to upload that information to something that can convey my information to a retailer or ultimately to the consumer. So what we're undergoing right now is a cost that is now being borne by manufacturers that prior to the world of the internet was a cost that manufacturers didn't have to pay attention to. And I'm not sure how they're going to budget for that, but it is a natural progression as manufacturers had to create websites over the last 20 years. They will now also have to start populating that information in different ways than just a website in order to give a more complete picture of product information all the way to the consumer. In the olden days, say 20 years ago, retailers paid for a lot of the brand information. And you had companies like Gladson and Quickie and ARS, companies that were creating product information on their own. So they'd go into a drugstore at night and they'd take pictures of the aspirin bottles and they'd sell that information for retailers to use in their catalogs and circulars. And so the information was being paid for by the retailer, and the manufacturer got to sit on the sidelines, and they willingly did so because they didn't have to go buy cameras and they didn't have to go rent out stores at night to do all the photography. It was a third party that built its own business around capturing product information. Those companies that did that in the photography days, in the print catalog days, they're either shifting to digital and they're doing so successfully. Gladson is now Syndigo, and they are quickly pivoting into a digital age. Quickie got absorbed by a company just recently, and ARS, which is largely independent of an acquisition at this point, they have a digital business model that they're executing. So as we shift those folks that used to be in the middle, getting paid by the retailer for the image, that cost is now shifting away from the retailer and to the manufacturer. And it's for some manufacturers, a bit of a surprise. But the retail monoliths like Walmart made the decision to stop paying for that information within the last decade. And that shift is underway. It will probably take another 10 years or so for that shift to complete. And then there are some brands like Nike who long ago embraced the idea that owning their product information and paying for that product information themselves was in the best interest of their brand and their image.
Fascinating. That is all very fascinating. I would not have guessed that at all about who pays for all the brand data. So thanks for sharing all that, John, and thanks for going over brand data with us and giving Nike some extra shout outs. Sounds like they're a model company for when it comes to supply chain, at least.
Well, I anchored in the idea that when we say Nike, all of us flash on a particular brand image. And so what you have to realize is that is a well-curated, well-orchestrated approach to owning that brand content. So it is a great model, and there will be others that embrace that.
Very true. Very true. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to another episode of the Rethinking Supply Chain podcast. Stay safe out there, and we will talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for listening to the Rethinking Supply Chain podcast. It's brought to you by Venzee, intelligent product content distribution for enterprise commerce. Learn more and say hello to us at venzee.com. That's VENZEE.com.